What's up, Aaron?
What's up, Manny?
How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back.
No, thanks for coming on the show, man. Your first day here, right? You weren't here yesterday.
Yeah, first day here, meeting some of the guys that you see on Instagram.
All the time. They're all over the place here.
Yeah.
Yesterday was good at the social hub.
Right, right.
Everybody was just hanging out there. It was good. It was a good turnout.
Yeah, I was over there. I thought you were set up at the podcast.
I was yesterday there. I committed one day there, and I committed one day here, and then I'm going to be committed tomorrow. I'm just done, man. I'm tired.
I had enough.
I'm not even a plumber or mechanical. I'm exhausted, man.
They're not paying you enough for this stuff.
Well, it's good to have you back on the mic, man. And I know, like, how do you, first of all, let's share all the deets, right? So Aaron's back here from Expert Plumbing, right?
Yeah,
and
heating. Aaron from Expert, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the handle again?
Aaron at Expert Plumbing and Drains, Canada.
Yeah.
EPD, Hamilton. Check us out on Google at Expert Plumbing and Drains.
Things are good, business-wise?
Things are great. We're today we broke ground in a subdivision, so that's new for me.
Subdivision. How many units?
Oh, fuck. A couple of hundred.
Yeah. Whoa, so it'd be done by next week?
Yeah, right? No, I'm looking, like, you know, the projection is about a year and a half. We'll see.
Was that a game? Like, was that a toll to secure that?
Yeah. So, like, you know, it was funny, like, it kind of, like, a lot of things have just kind of landed on my lap. And what I mean, like, by that in a way is that because I feel like that I'm moving forward in the right direction, I feel like doors kind of open in a way.
Yeah.
And what it is that I'm really trying to, I started off as a one-man show, and I'm trying to turn my company into a mechanical company. But I'm trying to turn it into a mechanical company where we're reaching for the stars, right?
Yeah.
You know how I am about my employees.
Yep.
Like, we have a training program, benefits. This year we're starting in the RSP contribution through profit share.
Yep.
Right, so we're really...
I love that detail.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, look, we're trying to make sure that at the very least that if you're committing to the career, you have a way of retiring. We're seeing that too much, right?
Like, everybody's leaving this industry without a bag of money, so to speak.
100%.
Like, they're struggling at the end of it.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
And it's like, look at your age range, like, if people who dealt with asbestos, I was in that end of that. Like, these days, kids aren't seeing that stuff as much, right? But, you know, breaking concrete, not having the right equipment, not working for people who even supply the right equipment, and feeling like you're left in a position where your job and your health are a contradiction of each other.
They're expendable.
Right.
And you don't realize it till later in your years.
100%. And when
and not many are educating the kids.
Hell,
you're
not.
Like, you're one of few, man.
Of course. You know what it is like, and this is it to me, was that to me it's not being a plumber that's the key to my success. It's being a team leader.
Yeah.
And it's caring enough for the people that I'm putting on the team to make the difference. Right. And at the end of the day, I think that's going to be my key to success, because that's what people want. Right.
Yeah.
People want the security. They want to know that you care. They want to know that they have a place that can equal a retirement and that they don't have to work till they're 70 years of age.
Are the kids, when you first speak to them, are they a little surprised that you're having this line of dialogue with them?
Huge.
They're hugely surprised.
Can't believe it.
Because you're an anomaly. Like
can't believe it.
Most employers are not doing this.
100%.
They care more about, are you going to show up tomorrow? But you're already talking about, I want you to show up tomorrow and the day after, and I want you to stay here for a long time, and I want you to be healthy and have a family and grow, and I want you to be a vibrant older person enjoying life later on.
Yeah, like, we brought in a guy from RBC because we didn't know how to structure the profit share. We didn't know, what does profit share in a company look like? How do you take a company that struggles with cash flow? And that's the truth. Like, I struggle with cash flow.
Well, that's every construction company,
every,
man.
100%.
That's the number one death benefit.
It is.
I know.
So there's no, like, anybody to watching this. Like, I don't have a kitty. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, like, I sold a percentage of my company at the start because I needed a startup investment. I spent that money in 40 days. There's no.
But you got some growth out of it.
Well, we got the growth out of it.
But you got a plan, basically. You started the plan.
The plan, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's valuable, man.
It gave us the recipe. What are you cooking without it?
Yeah.
You're just winging it.
But I love the fact that you're having this conversation with the kids right out of the get-go and go, listen, man, you're about to embark on something different.
100%.
We care about trades. We care about tradespeople. We care about this industry. We want to see you in here for a long haul.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important that we go down this path.
It's very important. And when we brought in this guy from RBC, we were saying, right, from a financial standpoint, from the company, and for an employee standpoint, well, what would be the best outcome for this? So, you know, as something that was a tax benefit for us to turn the profit share as an RSP contribution.
Yeah.
Based off a percentage of their wage. And basically it kind of looks something like this, that if you started with us and say you were a 21-year-old, and by the time you hit retirement, you're going to be retiring on the minimum side of the profit share of around $700,000 for a career. Now,
that's just your career, not including what else you're going to be educated during those years of working with you guys.
100%. And like, to be honest with you, like, this is, you know, where companies need to really start to step up and say, you know, to really control the industry, to stop everybody going out by themselves and looking out for themselves, you got to look out for other people.
Yeah.
Or they're going to look out for themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So again, like, knowing the numbers, being able to get a handle on it, and if you don't have clients that will pay you enough that you can take care of your guys, maybe don't have so many guys, you know. And that's kind of what happens really in the industry.
Are you seeing more, like, I'm huge kudos to you for pulling this off and making it happen, and I don't ever see it failing. It only is going to grow from this point, right? You're probably going to attract a whole new breed of tradespeople to want to work for you, right?
Whole new one. Like, so, like, what's happening now, right? Every trades company out there is going to say, what's the problem in the industry? Can't find the guys. It doesn't matter what level you're on. You're not going to find the guys.
Yeah.
And the reason is because the guys aren't looking for you. Right now, and what's never happened to me really until the last year, is that with working with my media guy and showing a bit of showcase of what we do, the word is starting to get out there that we have a bit of a different outlook on how we treat our employees. Yeah. And now what that's doing is that we have people walking in and saying, let me know when the next opening is. My boss told me that he can sign me up and that I should come here and work for you, because he's seen what you're doing and that he believes that this would be more beneficial for me. And I'm like, you know what?
You're thinking, why isn't the boss looking at doing the same program with himself and attracting just as many people to his workforce?
And this is what we're actually trying to do to help this. I've talked about in the past with you about, like, skills development and upskills, and me and you were at the Builder Show and we had a bit of a talk about that. So that's the number one thing that I'm really pushing for now, is skill development within the trades. It's to stop letting all of the tradespeople fall through the cracks, and to have funding for companies to assist in getting them to the next stage. You know, a huge thing that's happening right now is that, say you have an apprentice and then you keep him for 4 years. This guy should be qualified.
Yep.
But let's just say, like, he's not academically inclined. Like, he just can't get over the books. But he's the best, whatever, framer, plumber, you name it. And you love the guy. Like, you're not, you don't fire people.
Yep.
Like, no one gets into the business.
He gets along the culture. Yeah.
Of course. Like, yeah. But now what? Now you can't hire another apprentice, because the one apprentice you did hire can't get through school. And it's this kind of, like, vicious little circle of, like, How do you as an employer let go of your best guy because he can't get the ticket? But how does your company grow and evolve if these guys can't get the ticket? So how do I, as an owner of a plumbing company, take one of my students that can't get past the fourth year of school, and there's no way you're going to have the time, or maybe not even the knowledge, to sit down and assist with that? And right now there's nothing to help that.
There's no government programs
for
that.
There's nothing.
Nothing at all.
There's nothing.
Have you presented this to the government?
Yeah. So we're in.
And how's that fallen on deaf ears?
Not great. Like, you know how it is yourself. But what it is at the moment, is that I'm trying to prove the point. So
they'll jump on after you succeed?
Well, that's it. There's nothing.
It's succeeding, though.
Yes.
It's not even waiting for success now. It's succeeding.
Well, when we approached people I can't mention, but we're approaching people that have say. And one of them were very surprised to the fail rate of the trades. And I'm like, you know, you guys don't know.
Wait, hang on a sec. What's the definition of a fail rate? Like, what are they talking about here?
Well, so what we're hearing across from research is that essentially 40% of the trades are failing in skill right now.
Are they failing? That's huge. Are they failing to the point they're leaving for good?
Yeah, they're so like I've had even people come in that were 4th years and say openly say they'll never be a plumber because
they're 4th year
and because they're faced at their last exam and they know so little about plumbing. The school, like the way the school system is set up here, is that they will get you through the stages by essentially pushing you along. And then they rely on that last test that's out of the control of the school, so to speak. Because your 1st exam and 2nd and 3rd exam are all within the school. So, like, the teachers kind of have to...
coddle.
Exactly. But then, after that, then, your final exam is out of school, off campus. Like, it's in wherever you write your exam. Whatever.
And they have no guidance for that.
There's no nothing for that. So now that's it. You're in the big boy school and then you're left there with your pants down. And you fail. So when you do fail, the only thing that they're offering right now is 1 return for a refresher course. And don't hold me to this, but I think that course is only a week or two. Now, if you couldn't pass the exam with 3 months of training, what?
You ain't going to pass the week or two.
Yeah, no, give it a rest, like, you know what I mean? And that week or two is not one-on-one lessons.
So why isn't that fail rate of 40% being shared to the general masses here? It's too much of a negative output?
It is, and, well, if you look at, like, how the focus now is on pre-apprentice, because they're just, instead of, like, let's not focus on pre-apprentice, let's focus on getting all of the people qualified to allow the ratio. If the ratio is going to stick to 1-to-1 and they're not going to give us a 2-to-1, which is, it's not even an ask.
Yeah.
They need it to help this industry grow.
Yeah.
So then, think of it like this. If you have a 2-to-1, at least you as an employer has the chance of one of those guys.
What's their logic on why they don't want to go back to 2-to-1?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
They honestly believe what? You can't train 2 people at the same time?
There's no way that anybody
can. Like, there's no logical like thought process there. I don't understand that.
First of all,
how about we just give it a try and see how it works?
Yeah, of course.
Because I think it will succeed, because you're right. At least 50% of them will get it.
Yeah.
Instead of 0.
Yeah.
That's the alternative.
Yeah, I can't make heads or tails of why that is.
It's like almost they're trying to, like, I guess it's like Toronto traffic. They're not trying to solve it. They just want to continue having it.
Exactly.
So they're not really trying to solve the problem of trade shortage or skill shortage or anybody's shortage.
No.
It's our problem now.
It is. And right now they're just trying to pump people into the trades.
I know, so, but keeping them, man, that's the key. That's where all the money should be put.
Yeah.
Keeping them in the trades.
100%. I'll tell you what happened to 2 of my guys. So you get an email. So say when your trade skill comes up, you sign up, we keep you for a year typically. And then you get an email, and the email says, congratulations, you've been awarded a spot in this skill. Do you want to accept? Right now, and if anyone wants to leave a comment or talk about their experience with this, we're noticing that there's a 12-hour turnaround on the reply. If you don't respond to that email of your offer of skill within 12 hours, you lose it. Now, like, how do you do that? Like, you know, how does a guy that's out on a job, did the office let him know? The office may have read it and didn't think, like, it's anything. And that's what happened to us. Like, in fairness, like, we let a guy down in the sense of not knowing. The email came in on a Thursday afternoon. We let him know on a Friday. He called Friday afternoon and they told him he had to wait another 3 months. Like, come on.
Man, such a disconnect, eh?
Come on, like, you know. And then last week, the same thing happened to us again. Like, we had a kid. He was in a position where, you know, like, we didn't expect the school to come up so soon. So I don't know how he got placed so soon. We hired another kid in his position. So it took 24 hours to call this other kid, get him to accept the start date so my other apprentice could go to school and this new kid would step into his position.
Yeah.
So this is what you want. This is how the industry should act.
Yeah.
I hired this other kid. I said, okay, get this kid signed up, and the position was gone. You don't, like, it's not like, you know.
Are you getting frustrated, Aaron? Like, are you just, I mean, because what you're doing is the way it should be going, but you should also be, I guess, like, compensated for it, because there's a lot of work on top of what you're already running, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's just like, why aren't they listening at this point? Because this is actually a template for the way it should be done.
Yeah. it's not a fastest finger for, it's the Wild West, because the way I'm seeing it is that you would think that being in a trade program or being in a placement, when somebody offers you a seat at the table, that how is your seat taken away? These kids are on a projection to be in school every year from when they start. So if that's the case, well then, how are they offering it to so many people? And it's just the first come, first serve. Like, that's where our education system is at now, first come, first serve.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, to
so
me.
So right now, the word, because you're mostly in the Hamilton, Burlington, but you're also getting into the Toronto area.
Yeah, like, I try not to come to Toronto, but we started a subdivision in Niagara.
Okay.
I hopefully will have my first high-rise at the end of the year in Niagara too.
Wow.
That'll be my first, like, full mechanical project. And we typically come into the Mississauga type of area, trying to stay away.
Basically, the word of mouth out there is like everyone's telling you that if you want to grow and you want an opportunity, contact Expert at that point.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, you know, we're looking to grow. We're looking to put team leaders into place, estimators. Like, that's the thing. We have a strategy for growth across the board. Like, you know, we got some kids that want to be estimators. We got some kids that want to be project managers. We hire project managers from other companies. I recently just hired a project manager from a big firm.
Wow.
And he'll watch over the subdivision. So every time we grow that extra little bit, you know, it's...
So your day nowadays, man, like, how much is it about the education and changing the industry? How much is it about the business?
So
one's got to be taking over the other now.
It is. Like, so I have a thing that I can't talk too much about, we are actually trying to go forward with developing our own skill and training system.
Yeah,
too.
I remember. Yeah.
And basically what that is, again, we're really pushing for this government grants for employers to upskill and uptrain their current employees. And in a way that it looks something like this is that, you know, this is what we did last year, which was a big one for us, that we were watching too many guys do the heating side of things.
Okay.
Right. In floor in particular, hydronics.
Yeah.
It's an unregulated industry.
Yep.
It's an industry full of cowboys.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, like, it's a bit of a joke. I would say it's probably the laughing stock of the industry.
It's a good money-making industry.
Yeah, and what it's done and where, like, I need the manufacturers to kind of listen up here and take a bit of responsibility is, you know, gearing up with some of these guys that don't have a clue is good for nobody.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when I go around and I find most clients that have in-floor, you know what they say? They say, put on a pair of socks because they're more valuable. Because most of these guys can't even do BTU calculations, heat loss calculations. And all it does is run boilers for 5 years into the ground. The clients don't want to pay it. They don't want to pay the gas bills. They don't. The whole thing just gets kiboshed. Last week alone, I had 2 rebuilds because, you know, clients calling. I just happened to be in the house for a different reason. One of my guys will ask, how's the in-floor? Oh, terrible. Terrible, worst decision I ever made. The guy said, don't worry, it takes a few days to heat up. Those few days never came. You know?
They obviously never showed a design, never showed a breakdown, they never showed zones, they never worked on none of this stuff, right? Like,
so we had a quote for a big house there recently. I obviously can't say names, I don't want to.
No,
contracts
of course. Yeah, of course, yeah.
And my opposition of the estimate wasn't willing to factor in insulation on in-floor.
Seriously?
So, like, when it came down to it, like, we brought it back to the contractor, and he's like, well, look, like, there's a $15,000 difference here. Like, why would that be? And we're like, because, buddy, like, you need insulation. Like, so we were doing underfloor on the top floor, like, you know, staple mount with the aluminum plates.
Yeah.
Right? So the guy is like, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and I never put insulation under there. So we're putting batten, fucking R10 or whatever we were putting on there, like, you know. And we're like, yeah, but, like, where is all that heat going? Like, where do you think the heat's being transferred to?
Goes down.
Right? And he's like, yeah, but it's hitting the plate and it's going to warm the floor in anyway. And you're like,
no.
Yeah, like, body, like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't, like, rocket science.
You've been doing it for 15 years. You've been doing it wrong for 15 years. It doesn't mean it's been doing it right.
Exactly. And who's paying the bill for
it? The homeowner. And they're not happy about it.
Exactly, right? So, like, So when we set out a year ago to say, right, we got to get deep into this industry and we got to figure it out. So we did. I put four guys on. Truth be told, I spent the better part of $250,000. It was $210,000.
Wow.
I had to take these guys over the course of a year. So think about it, like the downtime, the wages,
the training,
the expense of the training,
like
all of that stuff. Now, I put together this team of guys that I can guarantee you, like, you'll see it soon enough. Like, we're going to rival some of the biggest names out there. And the reason being because we can prove the science. We can prove what the proper install is. And you know what our biggest problem was out the gate?
What?
Trying to get a job from all the people who were doing it wrong. And I'm talking about, like, mega projects. Like, where money is not even the object.
They just want the job done correctly. They just,
yeah. But even at that level, the feedback is, I've worked with this guy, there's been no complaints. How many homes are you circling back with, say, with a heat gun, or going back and actually having the conversation with the client to say how well the system is?
And they're not doing any of that. They're not on the phone.
Very few.
So if no clients have complained, they're considering that they're good.
Yeah. And you know what? I was talking to a buddy of mine over in Equipco, Brendan, there from Equipco there.
Yep.
And they do, so one of the issues we ran into was with a Bradford White. And not true the fault of Bradford White, just true the fault of the install.
Yep.
So I call him up and I say, right, you install, say, a new boiler or whatnot. What's the first question you're asking in 5 years when this one's failing? Like, how are you guys coming in and approaching this? They're like, well, we want to see the load. We want to see the calculations. We want to see, like,
standard stuff.
The standard stuff, right? So how do you do that on systems that won't even install something as simple as insulation? You know? So what we had to do for this this one client in particular was that we had calculated the load to be, it was a big house, so the in-floor load was about 80,000 BTUs, right? So then what we had to do was take the quote from the competitor, show him what the BTU load was without the installation. His BTU load was 450,000, and he was putting in a 199 combi boiler.
What the?
Now,
so his math is off, man.
Like, I'm not even a good math guy. I'll tell you that here and now.
You don't put that system in there, man. You don't build that. You don't build it that way.
You don't. Like, it's just ridiculous.
This is heart-wrenching to hear because, like, you want clients to go this route.
Yeah.
Like, you want them to choose hydronics, but they have to hire the right people to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of, like you said, the cowboys, man. Like, they're just coming in and going, we know we can charge a certain price. We know we can make a bunch of profit.
Yeah.
We don't care if it has to be failing later on.
There's no, that's it. They'll put pumps everywhere. They'll undersize boilers. You'll be running everything into the ground.
What are you saying to all the other business owners? Because I know that you started your business by reinventing your business and reinvesting into your business.
Yeah.
That's a big pill to swallow when you're a business owner because there's so much upfront cost to just get started on your own, right? How are you managing that, man? Like you're seeing the long game. You're looking at it like that training, that investment, those opportunities to build a network, these are all valuable assets that I'm going to see in the future.
Of course. Like, you know what? Like, the thing about it is this is the number one thing I would say most people need to think getting into business is, how long do you want to be in it for, and what are you trying to achieve? On your own, you're not going to achieve much.
Nope.
It's too hard.
You need a team.
It's all team related. I'm not achieving fuck all on my own, excuse the French.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Like, I got really experienced people on my team. I have an educator, office management, estimators, really good
people
guys.
Skills you don't have, they have.
100%.
That's, like, how it works.
If I am the best plumber on the team, it's a failure. I've said that before. Like, my guys need to be the best. They're the ones out there on the field doing the job. It's not me doing the job. And what's allowed me to reinvest so much in the company is to control my ego. I care more about the fact of the reinvestment and the fact that these guys are proud. Like, they're proud.
Yeah.
Like, I can watch how in as a year turns over and I can pay these guys more because they can do more.
Yeah.
And they're going on holidays, they're taking their families places, their family they're have happier. Benefit. Like this is
there's
big
so much
stuff
happier,
like, right?
You know, they look forward to Mondays.
They really do. And, yeah. And the like there's not problems, there's problem solving. Like I can remember the days of being stressed about trying to figure a job out and just the anxiety, like the build up of anxiety. And now with the guys that I have, there's no anxiety. Like we walk into a room together of a bunch of smart guys and we like smile at the outcome. and that's what I love about what I'm currently doing right now, like is the ability to do that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And the number one thing that's allowed me to have the reinvestment is by not writing the check for myself just yet. Right? Like that's the big thing. Everyone wants the Porsche. Like yep. I remember the first show I did with you, I found out I was the only plumber without a Porsche. I went, how the fuck? What am I missing?
That's
now
coming,
on?
Man. That's coming. But I want other trades to understand that this isn't unique to your trade.
No.
You can take these same principles that you're working on. Every trade. I don't care every which trade it is. Every single trade could apply these same principles, man.
Like the thing is that you, like for me, it's thinking outside the box, right? No matter what trade you're in, there's someone who wants to teach.
Yeah.
There's someone that's retiring. There's someone that's in a position, you know? And the sad thing about it is because there is no programs, there is no funding, there's not many of these jobs, so to speak, of like if we can get this funding off the government to allow upskill development, what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot more pop-up places that have the ability to teach people how to do things. Like as an employer, wouldn't it be great to be able to like take your guys and put them on a roofing program for like 3 months or put them on a boiler install.
The like, skills they would achieve over that time.
Right. And then at least the fact that like when they get back onto the job like that, you're not micromanaging, which is the only way you can run a business.
So how did you make time to come to CMPX, man? Like just...
I honestly,
it's crazy. Are the guys coming down? Some of the guys.
I have about 4 guys with me today. I have about 5 guys with me tomorrow.
Yeah, because it's a valuable show to come to.
It is. Like these guys. Like again, I'm not going down the influencer route. I do social media. My social media is based on getting the word out there about what we do.
Yeah.
It's more of a hiring strategy for me.
It's a team building thing.
It's a team building thing for my guys. I want them to be the guys that get to be the influencers or whatever they want to take or sponsorships. If they can get all of that, great for them.
Do it.
You know?
Yeah.
So just again, having a team allows you to take time and, you know, being able to bring the lads down is just more of an investment. Again, showing that, listen, lads, it's not all about the work. Like, you know what I mean?
I love it. Every time I speak to you, man, you got something else going on. So I know that you're busy. I know that you're crazy busy. And it was like, very appreciated that you actually made the time come down here and stop at the booth here. And Dahl, you know, Dahl's been a fan of you and what you've been doing and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm telling you, if anybody's interested in trying to figure out how to move their business forward, and I'm not like, it could be incrementally, it could be dramatically.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and reach out to Aaron. Just have a conversation with him. Man. Even do a DM conversation. He'll respond to you. He will not ignore you.
Yep.
And if you've got an ounce of passion in the industry, he'll continue talking to you about that.
Yeah, 100%. I'll pull up my cell phone there as well if anybody wants to reach out and message me. If you Google my cell phone, it'll pop up too. Sometimes on my social media because I have somebody run it.
I do the same thing. But the problem is, man, I got all of India actually contacting me for opportunities for website designs and all kinds of shit. And it's a double edge. I don't care because there's also people reach out to me
that want to
genuinely ask me a question, right?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the times, and I love this. This is what the show has done. Is like, listen, if someone's interested in your trade, I just point them to guys like you. Nice. I go, listen, you're gonna have a far better, more interesting conversation with these individuals, and they will move the needle for you, man. So it's really important, man.
Yeah. Anybody out there needs to know anything about a strategy, growth, numbers, reach out. I'm more than willing to help, you know?
Well, congrats so much, man, on the subdivision work, and I know about you've hinted at the school thing about, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen there. High rise is insane. I gotta come by your job site. I stopped by Sam the plumber's job site. Reason that was good, he was upset that I was wearing Panda's hoodie there, right? So he's like, I gotta get you a hoodie. Right, so
he's
like, I got all kinds of hoodies, so everyone knows that I'm, but not on today's show, we're not doing that. But
he's got a sick hoodie though.
He's gonna, yeah, he's gonna, he's always nice. I saw him yesterday, he was here, he's gonna come back back on the show today later on in the afternoon. So it's always a pleasure to talk to Sam, man. So Aaron, thanks again for being on the show. Share everybody to reach out on Expert. It's on IG. It's Expert.
Yeah, Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. You got us on Facebook, EPD Hamilton, and check us out on Google at Expert Plumbing and Drains.
Yeah, and if you're at the CMPX show, just walk around and you'll find them here. At You'll bump into him. The guy's like 10 foot tall. You can't miss him, man. Aaron, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. We're out of here, man.